We're going to continue in our study that I told you that we were going to do is Christ is the Way. And I'm pretty sure that I gave you a whole list of the way that he is. And we're going to start with Christ is the Way. The first one, Christ is the Way to God. You know, this is probably a pretty easy message for, you know, Bible thumpers like you guys. You probably already know that Jesus is the way to God. But I want to make sure that you will be able to apologetically answer that question when someone asks you that. I'm pretty sure that there are some Christians who believe that there might be multiple ways to God. I've heard it. I continue to hear it, that there is this philosophy and theology that there could be more than one way to God. That's an interesting theology. It's wrong, but it's interesting. You know, I told you before, there's like 30-some thousand different denominations throughout the world. 30-some thousand. And which one is right? Well, the logical explanation is they're all right. Just ask them. And every one of them in the denomination for which they are practicing will tell you that they are what?
Right.
The third largest religion in the world, which is Hinduism, they're right too. You wonder how I know they're right? Ask them. Those who practice Islam, every one of them are right. Ask them. Is that a true statement? Those who practice Buddhism, they're right. All you need to do, what, Glenn, is what? Ask them. So if everybody is right, is anybody wrong? That's where we find ourselves in this dilemma. Well, wait a second. If everybody believes they're right, who's wrong? Everybody understand the problem we present ourselves with, right? I mean, then Mormons, there's a bunch of folks practicing Mormonism, and they're right. How do we know that? Ask them. Jehovah's Witnesses, they're right. Just ask them. And this is where we come into a very bold process in Christianity. However, according to what we believe, they are what?
Wrong.
And that makes some people feel very icky. That might make some of you feel pretty icky too. Based upon our statement that we make as a doctrinal statement that everyone else who does not believe in Jesus Christ is going where? To hell. And that might, some of you, make you feel kind of icky. Just having a very honest conversation with you here today. If you're bold enough to answer truthfully, does anybody feel kind of icky that we make a statement that Jesus Christ is the way to heaven and everyone else is going to hell? Does anybody feel icky about that? Thank you for being honest with me. We have a brave girl. Scott, I saw you wave your hand. Thank you for being honest with me. Thank you for being honest with me. Thank you for being honest with me. I appreciate that. I do. Honesty is the best thing. Because with honesty, we can take a look at it, and we can say, okay, well, let's see if we can explore. Does anybody here believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God?
Yes.
Who believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Anybody believe that? Okay, cool. Why do you believe that? Well, here's the basis, is because he said it. Right? He said it. And all through the Bible, it says that he is the Son of God. Now again, who believes that? Who really truly believes that? How many say, gee, I'm not so sure. Anybody say, I'm not so sure about it? Okay, how many of you believe that he was crucified on a cross on a hill called Golgotha, and he died? And he was laid to rest in a borrowed tomb from Joseph of Arimathea, and he was in there for 3 days. And on the third day, he rose again, and he walked among people. Who believes that in this room? Anybody believe that? Okay, cool. All right. Why do you believe that? You weren't there. So you weren't there. But why do you believe that? Because the Bible what? Tells you so. Well, we're on the same page so far. We believe it because the Bible says it. And so we also believe that he ascended into heaven, right? And we believe that he's coming back. How many believe that? Okay, cool. And so we believe those things. Well, then turn in your Bibles, please, to John 14:6.
Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me."
Well, now wait. You see, that's in there too. Right? That's in there too. So does Jesus only tell the truth about some things? Like when he says, "I am the Son of God," was he telling the truth only on that statement and not telling the truth when he said, "And no one gets to the Father except through me"? Which is it? Which is it? Is it the whole truth, or some of it is true and some of it is not? Now here's where the problem comes in. If you say even one word is not, that makes the whole thing what? Wrong. Jesus said, "I am the Son of God." Jesus said, "I'm coming back." Jesus said, "You can knock this temple down, but I'll rebuild it in 3 days." Jesus said, "I am. You've seen me, you've seen the Father." And he said, "And no one gets there except through me." Is it all true or is it not? This is where the dilemma comes in. As Scott said, Scott didn't say he didn't believe it. Scott says he has a hard time, what? Saying it. Because it's icky. It's icky. You know, to tell some folks that you love they're going to hell, that's kind of an icky thing. Because everybody wants to get the Christmas cards. Everyone's invited to the Thanksgiving Day meal. And you certainly don't want to be known as a Bible thumper or a Jesus freak or one of the born-agains. Right? And so Jesus said, "I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life." And who? No one. Now let's just explore that. Do you think God kind of had it figured out, that you would try to figure it out, that maybe somebody's not into no one? You think God doesn't think that you're probably thinking, "Well, that just means Christians. That doesn't mean everybody else." Well, no. See, God knows that we all have a hard time getting home at the end of the day if they change the road. See, God's kind of got it figured out that some of us can't get from here to there without a GPS. If it goes down, we're stuck. How many understand what I'm saying to you? So God's got to kind of figure it out. You know what? I got to make it pretty simple. I really got to make it pretty simple for these folks because, see, they're sheep. And because you are sheep, the reason why you are called sheep is because sheep are one of the dumbest animals on the face of the earth. A sheep can fall down to 6 inches of water and drown because he's forgot to what? Stand up. A sheep will walk into an electric fence and hit his little nose and go, "Whoo," and do it again. And so God's got to figure it pretty out that he just got to make it pretty simple. And he said, "No one." Scott, how many is that? Who's that include, Scott?
Includes me.
Includes you. In fact, it includes the people you don't want to tell. It means who? No one. No one gets there except through him. Now, Christianity teaches that. Jesus said it. The Bible professes it. Are you ashamed of that? Let's just have an honest conversation. Are you ashamed of that? I mean, geez, you're sitting down with somebody, a really nice person, and they ask you the way to heaven, and you've known this person for such a long time, and this person's a really nice person, and you don't want to offend them, and so, you know, you kind of say, "Well, you know, Here's another way that we like to do it. Well, based upon what I believe, you know, the only way I believe, the only way to get to heaven is through Jesus Christ. But of course, everybody believes other things. Oh, hey, knock yourself out. Come on, I know how we do it. I know how we do it. So let me be bold. And if I offend any of you, I can tell you from the secret chasms of my heart, I don't care. Well, let me be very bold. You'll get over it. I'd rather tell you the truth and have you go to heaven than lie to you and you go to hell. There is no way. Repeat that with me. There is
no way
to get to heaven except believing in Jesus Christ. If you think you're good enough, you are not. Are you good? Yes, yes. We do good things. Who does good things? Oh, you're all good people. It's not a question of being good. It's a question of being perfect. You see, we're probably pretty decent people. Turn to somebody and say, you're a good person. Sissy, you're a good person. Thank you. I was telling that same person, but you sure ain't perfect. Let me help you with this. This is the way this works. Catch this. This is the way this works. In order for a person to get to heaven based upon their own merits, if you could get to heaven based upon your own merits, then guess who we didn't need to die? Did we, Sissy? If you can do it, we didn't need him. Now let's run that by you one more time. If you can do it by yourself, then we sure didn't need him to die on a cross, did we? That's not the way it works. In order for you to get into heaven, you need to be perfect. Let me help you with that. Perfect. And what that means is this. From the day that you were born, from the day that that doctor said, come on, I got him. I'm just exaggerating, I know. Come on! Oops! Oh. You could have never, ever, from the day the doctor said, come on, I got him, until the day you die, you could not have told one lie. And I'm not talking about whoppers. A lie is a lie. You could not have said one lie. Because if you broke one of them, guess what? Sissy, you broke them all. How many told at least one lie? For those of you who do not raise your hand, that's your first one. You are not perfect. You all fall short. And Jesus said, I am the way. And no one comes to the Father except through me. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18.
For through him, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit.
Through him, Jesus Christ, we have access to who? The Father. That's it. That's it. You could not have gone to church enough times in your life to get you to heaven. Can't do it. You cannot serve on enough board of directors to get you into heaven. Can't do it. You can't put enough money in the offering plate to get yourself into heaven. You cannot do it. Only through Jesus Christ. Turn your Bibles. Acts 20, verse 24.
However, I consider my life worth nothing to me, if only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace.
All right, grace. Let's talk about grace. Grace is unmerited favor. Grace is something that you receive that you do not deserve. Grace is something that you get when you should clearly get something else. Grace, unmerited favor. Are you not ecstatic that you are not in charge of giving out the grace? How many of you would be honest with me and say to me, there are some days in your daily life that somebody might not get some grace? Bob's the only one. Thank you, Bob.
Not
Remember I told you about that lying part? That's your second one. How many know there are people in your life that will not get any grace? There are some days of the week, man, you're going, you ain't getting any. Now, here's another question for you. You know, you're thankful that you're not in charge of giving out the grace. How many of you are really happy the person next to you ain't in charge of giving it out? There could be a day or two that, guess what? You might not get any. And so grace, unmerited favor. Turn to Romans chapter 3, verse 23. And the you guys that write in your Bibles, those guys who write or highlight or whatever, that's one you ought to highlight. If you ain't got it highlighted, you highlight it now. This is like a big one. This is one of those ones that you should be able to quote. Romans 3:23. You need to know this one. You need to highlight it, underline it, write it on your hearts, because everybody that you know is going to need to hear it.
For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God.
All. Again, God in His infinite wisdom made it pretty simple. Who's included in the all? Everybody. Well, let's break that down, because, see, there's some of us who still got this hard time trying to fathom, well, who's in the all? Or better yet, who's not in the all? Let's put some people in the all. All have fallen short of the glory of God. How many say Hitler's in there? Well, that's obviously. Jeffrey Dahmer. He's in there. Ted Bundy. He's in there. Mother Teresa. Ooh. You went there. You put her in the same list? All right. Let me get some shelter here. Cover. Married the Mother of God. Did anybody find ickiness with that one? Mary, the Mother of God, fall short. Is she special? Could you imagine how special she must have been? How special? But is she a sinner? Yes. There's only one who have never sinned. And who's that? Jesus Christ. For all have fallen short of the glory of God. Turn to James chapter 2, verse 10. And for some of our brothers and sisters who may not have ever heard this before, James, the author of the letter of James, by most theologians' account, is who? He's a brother of Christ. He's a brother of Christ. Okay, he's brother. Now, being that he's a brother of Jesus, did Jesus have brothers and sisters?
Mm-hmm.
Who is their mother?
Mary.
Just checking. So Mary and Joseph must have had some relations, huh? Mm-hmm. Must have bore some children, I suppose. Right? Must have. So she was the Virgin Mary for Jesus. She was not the Virgin Mary for James and other brothers and sisters. Right, sis?
Right.
Just want you to think about that a second, okay? James chapter 2, verse 10. Sissy?
For whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking all of it.
Whew, sonny. That doesn't seem fair. How many of you know there's a difference between white lies and whoppers? Now, come on. Now, how many of you know there's a big difference between little white ones and little and big old whoppers? That's the way we think, right? That's the way we think. How many of us in this room has never, ever, not one time ever in their entire world of existence ever committed murder? Who has never committed murder? Never seen hands. Who's never, ever, ever, ever? I mean, of all the ones you know for positively sure you have never done, raise your hand. You never committed murder. Okay, all the murderers, raise your hand. Uh-oh. You guys are in a bad company. You might not have known that, but some of us are serving life. See, Scripture says, if you harbor a grudge against your brother, you killed him. You murdered him. You're a murderer. Let that sink in for just a second. You see, the way we think And the way God thinks is two different kinds of ways. God says, my way is higher than your way. As far as the east is from the west and north is from the south, my way is what, Pastor Ed? Higher than your way. Now check this out. Now I don't want you to feel bad because you raised your hand and didn't say you were a murderer. But you were a murderer. How many of you ever said an angry word about somebody? You killed him. You killed him. How many gossiped about anybody? You killed them. You killed them. You see, we are judged, brothers and sisters. We are judged not only by what we do, and this is where it really gets a little tricky. We're also judged on what we didn't do. Now, wait a second. Now, wait one second. I'm judged on what I did, and I'm judged on what I didn't do? Yeah. So you're judged when you did the things you shouldn't do. And you are judged equally as harshly by not doing the things what you should have done. Wow. That's a pretty high standard. That's almost like pastor standard or something. I mean, not only that, Scott, but then you're judged on what you think. What? Let me get this right. I'm judged on what I do if I do it wrong. I'm judged on what I didn't do if I didn't do what was right. I'm judged on what I think. Let's add one to it. And you are judged for every word you ever said. What? How many fall short now? All the murderers, stand up. You ever shake hands with a murderer? Shake hands with a murderer and say, all right, glad to know you. I didn't know he was a murderer. All right, have a seat. And so we understand that Jesus says to his brother James, if you break one of them, you what? Broke them all. Broke them all. Does anybody think that sounds fair? Who thinks that sounds a little harsh? Everybody say, okay, thank you for being honest. Thank you, a little harsh, right? Well, too bad, because heaven's not your place. God doesn't want to let you in, and you're the one that keeps you out. It's the way it works. And here's the reason why. I want you to grasp a hold of some theological truth. Before you leave this place today, you're going to know the basics of our foundation of our faith. If there is a measures of sin, then Jesus Christ died for what measure? Just the big ones? Well, how many say, Ryan? All of them. All of them. You break one? You break one, Sue? What happens? You break them all. You break them all. How many are guilty so far? It works. It works. Let's turn our Bibles, please, to Acts chapter 10, verses 1 and 2.
At Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion, in what was known as the Italian regiment. He and all his family were devout and God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need and prayed to God regularly.
All right, now look at same book, Acts 11. Go right across the street, Acts 11, verse 14.
He will bring you a message through which you and your whole household will be saved.
Okay, so we're talking about this fellow named Cornelius. And Cornelius is a devout believer. He's good, he's decent, he's devout, he does everything that he's supposed to do, but he's still going where? The hell. He has to hear the message of the way to be saved. He has to hear the message on the way to be saved. And what is the way to be saved? Jesus Christ, believing in Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you about that in just a second. So Jesus says, I am the way unto the Father. I'm the way. It's not just important that you know who Christ is. How many of you in this room believe that Satan knows who Christ is? How many say Satan knows who Christ is? Well, we know that he didn't he tempt them in the wilderness? He tempted them, right? And so how many of you believe that Satan will not be in heaven? He won't be there. But he knows who he is. But he won't be there, right? He won't be there. And so Jesus said, I am the way, but it's not just head knowledge. It's not just head knowledge. Turn your Bibles, please, to Romans chapter 6, verse 23. Remember I told you that Romans 3, 23, this is the second one. Highlight it. Romans 6, 23. This is one you want to be able to highlight. Highlight this thing and write it on your hearts.
For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord.
The wages of sin is what?
Death.
Let's make sure that we're all on the same page. This is Theology 101. This is Jesus sitting in the first pew of the class learning about Jesus. The wages of sin is death. Now that does not mean a physical death, for all are going to die physically. I want you to make somebody's day today and turn to somebody and say, you're terminal. Go ahead. Turn to somebody, you're terminal. We're all going to die. Everybody's going to die. Did I burst anybody bubbles today? Does anybody know the biggest cause of death, Jen? Birth. It's true, Sue. For everyone who's born, Sonny, guess what? Someone will die. That's the way it works. So we say the wages of sin is death. We're not talking a physical death, because everybody dies physically. When the fall happened, you know, thousands of years ago, death entered into the world. A physical death. Now, so it says the wages of sin is death. That does not mean a physical death, because who's going to die? Everybody, believers and non-believers, right? Everybody dies. But what this means is a spiritual death. The wages of sin is a spiritual death, and a spiritual death means a separation from God. That when you die spiritually. And that means that you are not with God, you are not with those who believe, you are in fact where? In hell. Now let's just make sure we understand that. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 59, verse 2. All right, Miss Sissy. Did you find it?
But your iniquities have separated you from God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear.
Your iniquities have separated you from God. Iniquities, theological term, meaning what? Your sin. Your sin has separated you from who? God. So when you die in your sin, the wages of sin. When you die in your sin, you are going to die spiritually, which means a separation from who? God. God is where? Well, he is Holy Spirit, right? But where is God the Father right now? He's in heaven. So when you die, and you die in your sin, you're separated from God. Where's God? Heaven. So you're separated from him. So where else will you possibly be? In hell. That's the way it works. Let's get back to my original topic with you when I started this message. Anybody feel icky about that? Anybody have a hard time with that? I mean, some people might have a hard time with that. Wait a second. You mean to tell me that little old grandma down on the street that bakes cookies for all the kids and brings them out and gives them out to kids in the wintertime, hot baked chocolate chip cookies and chocolate milk, is going to go to hell if she don't believe in Jesus Christ?
Yes.
Ooh. Ow. Makes me uncomfortable to say that. Eric, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Thank you for being honest with me, Eric. I appreciate you, brother. I appreciate that. See, we all want to say that the terrorists who blew, you know, the bombs up at the Boston Marathon are going to go to hell. Hey, I'm okay with that, brother. I'm okay with that one. Osama bin Laden? But the little old lady cooking bacon cookies for her... Oh, really? Yeah. Let's reverse it. What if them terrorists accepted Jesus Christ, the one who lived accepted Jesus Christ, and in his prison cell, he accepted Jesus Christ, he got on his knees, repented of his sin, asked Jesus into his life, would he go to heaven? Oh, now, wait a second. Brother, you are way off base now. Now you almost had me before. Now you're really messing up. You mean to tell me that terrorist could be in heaven and that little mama cooking bacon cookies for her little kids could go in hell?
Yes.
That's the part that makes you what? Icky. That's the part. But Paul said in the book of Romans, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For all have fallen short. And who's in the all? Everybody. Little grandma baking cookies? She in the all? She's in the all. So where's the dilemma? Jesus said, I am the way unto the Father. Anybody want to go to heaven when they die? See, you never ask a question other than the answers to. But just to make sure, anybody want to go to hell when you die? Who wants to go to heaven? All right. So I want to clearly explain this to you, and this is one of the ones you want to highlight in your Bibles. John 3:16. Everybody should know this by heart. John 3:16. Highlight it. Put a little tear in the page, whatever. Write it on your heart. You got to know this one. John 3:16. It's the granddaddy of all the granddaddies. It's the one you could quote, and they put a star by your name. For God. Sister, read it.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life.
Amen. Let's put them together. Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 8. The wages of sin is death. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That's the gospel message. And when Jesus says, I am the way unto the Father, no one gets there. Nobody. The Pope don't get there. The cardinals and the bishops of the United Methodist Church and all of the elders of the Presbyterian Church, nobody gets there except through me. Now let me explain it to you. Because I got like a whole many more pages of scripture passages. Maybe I'll make copies of them for you. There's like five pages. I'm not going to get through all five of these. I'm not. But I want to get to this one thing I need to tell you before we close our message. And here it is. I love you enough to offend you. And I'm not afraid of you. I'm not. Those days are long gone. I'm more afraid of a holy God than I am of you. I am. I really am. And I need to tell you the truth. Anybody afraid of God? I am. And I told the praise team Monday night, you know, for whom God has given much, much is what? Expected. Required. And when he gives us a platform, and this is a platform I have the opportunity to speak in front of you, I'll be judged accordingly. I have to tell you the truth that'll set you free. Here's the truth. Here's the truth. If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and you only have head knowledge of him, and you walk out of this parking lot and you get hit by a bus, you're going to hell. You can be the nicest person on the block. How many know there will be a lot of nice people in hell? That's what works. That's what works. And Jesus said, I am the way. And this is the way. Here it is. For all have fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. And the wages of sin is what? Death. Romans 8:23. That's the way it works. For God so loved the world, he sent his only begotten Son. This is how it works. Anyone. That means Ted Bundy, Jeffrey Dahmer, Hitler, and you. If you call upon the name of the Lord, you will be saved. Well, how do you do that? Well, here's how you do it. It says in Scripture that if you profess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, and repent of your sin, and accept him as your Savior, you will what? Be saved. 10 years from now or 20 years from now? Right now. They once had a discussion about what are the deadliest of all sins that a person could ever do. And they got together one day and they said, well, what is the most egregious sins a person could ever commit in their entire life? Of course, you'd say murder, and that's not it. Seven deadly sins. I'll give you some. Gluttony. Lust. Slothfulness. That's lazy. Jealousy. Rage. Anger. And the seventh one, which is the most deadly of all sin, the most deadly of all sin, pride. Pride. And the reason why pride is so deadly, because when you make the whole world about you, and you think you are the mostest with the slickest and the bestest, and you don't need anybody because you got you, guess where you will be going when you don't call upon somebody who's bigger than you? It works. That's the way it works. So, we don't do this often, but maybe we should, but I'm going to do it now. So I need everybody just to just close your eyes. You don't need to look at me or anything. Just close your eyes. Just bow your heads. You know? Just don't look up. Don't look around. You don't need to look around. Just bow your heads for just a second, okay? Just bow your heads. And I'm really not going to be talking to everybody in this room. I might be talking to one or two people. I don't know. But God loves you more than you could ever imagine. And if you really, truly cannot grasp the concept of God's love for you, He sent His Son to die for you. You need to grasp that. That He thought that enough of you to have His Son die for you. That you were of such worth as that. Such worth as that. And He wants you to be in heaven. He knows that every one of us in this room will not be on this earth for long. We won't. It says in Scripture, our life is not a breath. But we want to be with Him forever. And so with everybody looking down and not looking at me and not looking around, if there's anyone in this room today that, and I'm not talking head knowledge. I'm not talking about head knowledge. If there's anyone in this room that has never, ever, ever said out loud that I want Jesus in my life, and I'm, you know what, I'm so tired of doing things my way. I fall so short. And I want to make sure that my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And I want to know without any doubt whatsoever that if I die, I will go to heaven. If that is you, and I'm talking to you, I need you to look up at me. I need you to look up at me. All right. This is the way this is going to work. Everybody, bow your heads. This is the way this is going to work. I don't care what anyone has ever said about you. You are important. You are so important. It's not important because you're so good and so perfect, because you're not. None of us are. All of us fall short of your glory. Every one of us falls short. But you are so important that Jesus would die for you. And I'm going to have you do something. And this is going to be the prideful thing. This is going to be the big thing. I want you to take a very bold step. I did. Sissy did. And that bold step is you got to get up. And you're going to walk this 10 or 15 feet. And you're going to come up and stand with me. And we're going to pray together. And when you leave this place, you will know you are going to be in heaven. There's no doubting it. There's no hoping. And right now, if you're saying to yourself, I hope I'm in heaven. No, you're not, because you shouldn't be hoping. You should know it. So, with every head bowed, no one looking around, if I was talking to you, and you want to accept Jesus as your personal Savior, as many of us have, then you need to get up and come up and stand with me. Okay, this is what we need to do. Here in front of us are one brother and three sisters who want to accept Jesus as their personal Savior. That's a great big deal. That's a great big deal. The whole service this morning has been about these four guys. And anyone else who wants to accept Jesus Christ. This whole thing's been about you. Anybody else want to accept Jesus? Thank you for making that bold step, brother. I saw you back there. Thank you. Awesome. Most awesome. So all of you who have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, only if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, let us not insult the Lord today, okay? If you don't know Him as Lord and Savior, but you haven't had the courage to come up here and stand, don't come up here and stand. But let's not pray a blessing upon these folks who want to accept Jesus when you didn't. Everybody understand? But if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you are born again, I need you to come up here and stand with these brothers and sisters. All right. It says in Scripture that we must profess with our mouth. We must call upon the Lord, repent of our sins, and then we shall be saved. That's what Scripture says. And so for my brothers and sisters who came forward and you wanted to accept Jesus in your life, I need you to repeat with what I'm going to say. And you don't repeat it just to repeat it. You repeat it because you want to say it. So my brothers and my sisters who came forward, I need for you to say with your mouth, believe in your heart what I'm about to have you say. Repeat after me. Father God, I'm a sinner, and I need a Savior. I repent of my sin, and I claim Jesus for my personal Savior. And I claim for what He did on the cross, He did for me. I repent of my sin. I claim Jesus as my Savior. I invite Him in my heart. And I promise to follow Him all the days of my life. So help me God. And I claim that my sin is forgiven right now. And my name is in the Lamb's Book of Life, never to be blotted out. And I thank you, Jesus, for loving me that much. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Welcome to our family. All right, you may be seated.